Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan
with insurancebroker.ie
on News Talk.
Rachel Lowrie is with me here on the line today because, Rachel, you got in touch about access to school places. What's your situation?
Hi, Andrea. Thanks for bringing me on today to talk. Our current situation is our little girl, Lucy. She's five. She finished in preschool in the end of June. Now, as I say, Lucy is autistic and needs a specific autism class, which we had an offer in March, subject to building works.
Yeah.
As it stands, the building works aren't complete and Lucy will be at home until the building works are, which we've been given a roundabout date from our CINO of November of this year.
November. So
yeah.
What happens between this week and November then?
She's at home. There's been no interim plan other than a suggestion of home tuition, which for a number of reasons won't work for her and our family. And yeah, well, she's just at home with my husband until the school is ready.
So surely there must be another solution in the interim.
Well, that's what we hoped for. We did hope that the NCSE and the school would be forthcoming with an interim plan, but this hasn't been the case.
And you haven't been given any reason why?
No, we haven't. As I said, the CINO and the school have suggested home tuition. And then, other than receiving the welcome back newsletter from the school earlier this week, the last communication we passed them was on the 2nd of July. So no updates of building works, no updates of anything throughout the summer.
A welcome back letter, but she actually has to stay at home.
Yeah, but not for my child.
Yeah. How many other kids are in this same position as Lucy, Rachel?
Well, for this school, like, they're opening two autism classes, so there would be six children in each. So I don't know whether those other children have other places in the interim that they can stay in, but I know my child's at home, and any of the junior infants that are due to start would be more than likely at home. If you're looking at it from a national perspective, I worked on the Equality in Education campaign, and we did the marches and the sleepouts earlier this year. Our current number was just over 260 based on numbers that Helen McEntee gave out in the Dáil before the recess, about 260 children without an appropriate school place for this September.
And when you found this school, I assume you probably picked this school, you know, you got in, Lucy got in, it was going to suit Lucy's needs. It's probably close enough or in close proximity to your house as well, Rachel.
No, it's actually not in our catchment area. We applied for 28 places for school for Lucy. We had one offer. This is it. There is a school across the road from us, which her 10-year-old sibling is in an autism class over there. They had four places in a new class for this September, and she didn't get in there either.
So she couldn't get into the same school as her sister. And after 28 applications, you got one offer.
Yeah.
And it's not ready.
No, and this child has systematically failed between her journey in preschool and now her journey into primary school.
And when you say the class isn't going to be ready, I mean, this is structural works we're talking about, is it?
Yeah, this is building works to a parish hall on site to the school.
So they're currently literally developing the class, are they?
Yeah, literally it's not ready. Putting the classes into to the parish hall. There has been changes to the building works for various reasons. So the original date we got was March, next March would be ready. And now that's been rolled back to November. They're going to do some of the works to the parish hall. That's ongoing. And then there'll be more works done to the school next summer.
Okay. And you've no interim solution beyond
Absolutely
home
nothing.
Tuition is homeschooling, really, is it?
Absolutely. And I make, even from the point of view of, you know, Lucy's been in three different preschools due to no fault of her own. To find another setting and expect her to start school again, that would be five different schooling situations before she actually starts primary school. Very unfair to ask any child, let alone a child with autism. We're kind of just at a loss and she's at home now and that's it.
And Lucy's sister, you mentioned she's in a school, she's attending an autism class, is that right?
Yes, she is indeed in school across the road, 100 metres door to door. And
the ideal situation would have been for Lucy to go there, wouldn't it?
Absolutely. Like any other neurotypical siblings can go to school together, but my children can't.
And this is to do with the space and the number of spaces available in that school. They had four.
Yeah, this is to do with the enrolment policy and where she fell. With the enrolment, they did it mainly by age, and she was the fifth youngest.
Okay.
So she's number one on the list with four spaces.
So where do you go from here, Rachel?
We don't. Family life is on hold. My husband was due to take up a postgrad in Maynooth late September, and that's more than likely going to have to be deferred now. Our whole family life has just stalled, and here we are just waiting on this building to be open. And it's not even in our catchment area, Lucy. We'll require transport to get to the school.
And were you going to have, were you bringing her, were you transporting Lucy yourself to the school, or was that provided?
No, we would have been applying to the NCSE for transport for her. The applications have gone in.
Mm. But you didn't get approved. You haven't heard on that yet, or there's no word on that yet, is there?
No, because, the school aren't ready.
The school's not ready, you're right.
Yeah.
And there was no talk. I mean, I know this isn't the ideal situation, but like, you're not the only parent, presumably. Obviously, you're sure not the only parent in this situation, if there's other kids in the, due to start as well in the class.
No, absolutely not.
But they're not, like, they're not an interim. I know people give out about, you know, the prefabs and prefabricated buildings, but was there not some solution could have been found for up to the Halloween midterm?
Yeah, like, especially, you know, kind of for the junior infant starting, you know what I mean? Because they have no options whatsoever. You know, this is going to make a lot of unanswered emails to the school have gone throughout the summer. So it's lack of communication, it's lack of any source of transparency. And obviously that's worrying for me as a parent, because I'm sending my pre-verbal child to a school that, you know, doesn't really communicate very well. So that's another issue for fair less facing.
And when you chat to the other parents, I mean, you know, has anybody been in touch with the department about it, or?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Like, we currently have a court case going through the High Court. The State Solicitor's Office stated that we'd be in for an August, September start date.
Okay.
So our case was adjourned till October based on that, but it's not going to be ready.
Okay, stay with me, Rachel, for a few moments. You're not the only person in this position. We've Nicola with us on the line. Nicola, you're in a similar scenario, aren't you, to Rachel?
Hi, Andrea. Yeah, look, very similar to Rachel. I'd like to thank Rachel as well, because, you know, she is a beacon of support for so many families like myself, and we've been lost without her. You know, she's helped us navigate this difficult process, but the issue I'm having is my son Noah is five. He is my third child. His older two siblings are currently in autism classes in a secondary school setting. But from just before he was two, I flagged. I knew I tried to get ahead of the game, because I took this journey with my two older kids. So I knew I had to advocate and advocate fast. I knew there was delays with diagnosis, etc. I sought for assessment and aid. I reached out to a speech and language therapist. My son, you know, his speech was extremely delayed and behind. He had already, you know, it was very clear and evident to me he was going to be like his siblings and be autistic. That process started in 2022. It was a tough, long road. He was eventually accepted onto the CDNT, which is the Children's Disability Network team for complex needs. And I said to him, you know, I need a diagnosis. You know, I know he's going to need an autism preschool. It was just delays. They felt he didn't meet the criteria at the time, which then meant 2 years of extreme school refusal, two different preschools. His needs couldn't be met. He missed out on all that time. I lobbied, I pleaded for an appropriate autism preschool. You know, it fell on deaf ears. I threatened legal action. Eventually, the CDNT team outsourced privately his assessment. And in May, he was diagnosed by a wonderful place. They stated he needed to be in an autism class for his care needs and support. Then that's when the panic ensued. I rang the Department of Education, the CNO responsible for securing a place for him. Every school, they were already full. There's nowhere for Noah to go to school now.
So
in Mayo.
So nowhere in the next week when the rest of the kids are starting, Nicola, Noah has no place in any school.
Well, look, that's it. You know, the truth is, it's not just Noah. It is a national crisis. And my issue is the Dáil and ministers, they're not back to mid-September. It's just already too late, you know. The academic year will have started by then. My kids, along with Rachel and other kids, are left sitting at home. And then the issue is, what will really hurt us, we will sit back, social media feeds will flood with back-to-school pictures. And that will really, really hit our family hard. We need action now, not in mid-September. You know, my full-time job, if someone asks me what my job is, I do work as well, which is hard to fit in, you know, meeting the needs with three children with complex needs. But I'm a full-time administrator. I am hounding since May. I'm hounding multiple TDs, multiple ministers. You know, I'm lucky with local representation, but I mean, Minister McEntee's offices at, you know, in Leinster House or constituency level, they do not answer me. They will liaise through other people, you know, the politician liaising on my behalf, but they do not answer me. And they've made empty promises and told me, you know, the usual stuff like, you know, I didn't need to go the usual route. I relax, it will be sorted. You know, these things take time. None of the promises came through fruition, and now it's just stonewalling and no answer.
Yes, so no answer.
Be left sitting at home.
So is it similar to Rachel in that it'll be home tuition effectively? Is that the conclusion for Noah now next week?
That is. And another thing as well, like, you know, this is all being, I'm told the CNOs would do this, but I've been left doing it all. I've been left in the Department of Education, research and home tuition. I'm told there's a shortage of tutors. You know, Noah's circumstance is he has extreme school refusal. He won't leave the house. We are trapped and confined. I feel so guilty for my other kids because we have been living like hermits in the house. We're held hostage. He won't leave the house. So home tuition is horrific for us. Because, you know, that's a massive failure to Noah, because that's just going to really cement those issues and fears he has, you know. There's no exposure for him to new opportunities to get out of the house. We're further trapped now. This is worst case scenario for us, that we'll have to, number one, have to struggle to ourselves find a tutor. Yeah. You know, and many other families like ours know that's very, very hard. And then also to be stuck indoors. I'm going to have to help bridge that gap. I'm here in the house. He's going to want me, not the hunter. It's so confusing for him. This is not ideal.
But I imagine as well, it's even just the situation, Nicola, that I wouldn't even know. Where would you begin even trying to find a tutor in the first place too? Charlotte is with us on the line. Charlotte, you've been campaigning for 2 years, is that right, for a school place?
Yeah, so I have been applying for schools for Kyra for the last 2 years. I applied to over 60 schools over those 2 year periods, and I had no offer of a school place up until July of this year. I had to take legal action, and my daughter was sanctioned the place through Section 37.
Okay, and just what does that mean? Just remind listeners, what does Section 37 mean?
So, to be honest with you, it's not very clear as to exactly what it is, but my understanding of it is that the minister has power to basically force the school to take my child. And in the situation with my own daughter, she was number 13 on the waiting list for a special school in Dublin, and she basically skipped another child. Which is, in my eyes, is very unfair, but that was what was ruled by the courts.
Okay.
And due to that, she was sanctioned a place within that school. But again, we don't actually have a school date for starting. We're told they hope to complete the building works in November, but other than that, we don't know anything more.
So it's the same situation then to Rachel in the home tuition, is it really?
So we've agreed interim measures that my daughter will go back to preschool for a fourth year, which it's just something that I would like to highlight, that while people don't have interim measures, the interim measures that are being put in place aren't always ideal either. sending my child back to preschool for a fourth year is detrimental to her. You know, she's going back into a school where she attends an autism specific preschool, and putting her back into a preschool where she has made tremendous progress to children that are only starting off, is really not good for her. Like, it's not, but at the same time, we can't have her at home because she needs structure. She thrives on routine every single day. Even during the summertime, she'd come down the stairs, get her backpack, sit at the front door and expect to be taken to school because that's her routine. That's what she's used to.
Yeah.
And she's content with that. So we have no option but to put her back into preschool until the skill building is built. But it doesn't mean that that's ideal for us.
And what age is she now, Charlotte?
She's 6.
She's 6 years of age now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Another listener as well, just on this, like listening to Nicola and Charlotte and Rachel today, I'm also in the same boat. My two sons go to a special school 5 minutes away, are in the autism class. My daughter didn't get a place in the school and is now 8th on the list. Got an offer of a unit in mainstream school, but as of now, we're told it'll be October at the earliest before she can start. So it's home with me until then. No offer of anything in the meantime from the department. Another listener, 087-1400-106 is the WhatsApp number. I too am in the same boat as the girls on air today. I have a 6-year-old who has never been inside an education building with 30 refusals. I'm 2 years fighting with the NCSE and the department for school for my son. Don't seem to answer us, but when does this stop? When will the kids actually go to school? I don't even have home tuition. They haven't even sent me out the form yet, says this texter. Sheila's with me on the line. Sheila, are you in a similar situation?
Good afternoon. I'm actually lucky enough that my eldest boy finally got a school offer after battling from the moment the schools opened the end of August last year and enrolment was open to apply for special schools. Now, my boy is 13. He was 12 then, and he was in 6th class in an ASD class, so a special class in a mainstream school, but he could never transition into mainstream class. So he was deemed he had to be in a special school. And to find a special school where we live, the nearest special school is an hour and 10 minutes away. And that doesn't necessarily mean it was the right fit of school, but we finally found a school. Like, I went up, I'm based in North Cork. I went all the way up to Donegal to look at schools for my boy because it was so grim that we had no option.
Were you going to move from Cork to Donegal, Sheila?
That's what we're actually having to do now, even with this school, because my boy won't travel. We've been in situations of special classes where he actually used to be going to a special class in Limerick. And he was travelling normally 40 minutes, but the transport changed and added more children onto the bus. And it went from 40 minutes one way to an hour 10 one way. Back then, he was 7. So he was getting picked up at 7:30 in the morning to be in school for 9:20. Now he's obviously 13, but he won't travel that far. So I battled. I was like some of the girls there speaking. I protested. I met Michael Moynihan quite a few times, spoke to him. He's actually my local TD, who's the Minister for Special Education and Needs, along with Helen McEntee. I was able to meet him. I would know him well. He's our local TD. He understands the plight. He has a child himself who has additional needs, so he does understand.
Oh, God, yeah,
but the lack of special schools is horrific. Look, Cork, one of the biggest counties in Ireland, nowhere near enough. The fight to get a place is ridiculous, and it's only pure pot luck we're after getting this. A child that was in this school that we've been offered, they've had to move with their circumstances, and that is the only reason my boy has a school place on Monday. That's the only reason.
And when did you get word of that, Sheila?
We got that on I think it was the 6th of June, and he was finishing primary school then the following, the 13th of June. with no school place, so you, and we had to do all the transfers and all that, and it was absolute panic.
Yeah, so you have summer now, and it's in Cork, confirm, it's in County Cork, the school.
It's Cork City. But we are now having to move house. We are deemed homeless as of Monday with our circumstances. So he starts school on Monday, but we're homeless on Monday as well.
Where are you going to go?
Me and my boys will be in my car. That's where we're going. Our stuff is going in storage. We have had to do this because of lack of school.
So you've had to move out of the accommodation, the house you're in?
Correct.
So that your son can start school on Monday in Cork City. You're not going to be out of the house you're in. You have to put all your entire lifelong belongings, Sheila, into storage.
Storage.
And you're going to sleep in the car.
I have no choice. I have no options. I will be going to the council on Monday declaring ourselves homeless. I have no choice. God. That's it. So, look, the local TDs know the story, but they say their hands are tied.
Yeah, you're not. I've no doubt, Sheila, you've been probably lobbying for years on behalf of the kids. This is something you've been lobbying for. The council are aware of your situation, I take it.
Look, we're only new on the council list, but they are very aware that we are going to be homeless on Monday. And I've had to move my other boy, who's 10, out of his school, which he's been there since preschool. He's now gone into fourth class in a new school. I've had to move him because it's closer to my eldest boy's new special school. So we are completely, our life has been completely thrown upside down. I'm so pleased he's got a special school place, my eldest boy. But our whole family life is just because of the lack of schools, facilities, staff. I'm a qualified SNA. I'd love to work, but I can't. I can't with my eldest boy because he has a lot of school refusal, but he's actually excited to go to his big school. He really is excited. And so long may it last.
You and the
but
two
we have
boys
no transport.
In the car.
We have nothing.
Well, look, we'll certainly, Sheila, keep in touch with us. I'm very happy to send. We can contact maybe the council in Cork on your behalf and see what the situation is there with emergency housing. But look after yourself. And I didn't expect you to say that, in the end of the conversation today. But hugely stressful. I mean, none of us can begin to imagine, unless we're going through that situation, what that must be like. But I wish you the best of luck and thank you for getting in touch with us. Sheila, Rachel, Nicola, Charlotte, emails lunchtimelive@newstalk.com. Thanks a million for sharing your stories.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
With insurancebroker.ie.
Weekdays at midday on News Talk.